Let's pray. Why should we gain from His reward? It was our sins that held Him there. He went to the cross because of us, our wickedness, our rebellion, our irreverence and great love while we were yet sinners held Him there until it was all accomplished. Father, would You please open our eyes to behold the glories of Christ. Show us the sinfulness of sin. Move us closer and closer to the image. Help us now, Lord. We need You. Father, Your Son said, when the word is preached, then the devil comes. Like birds taking seed from the ground, so that they will not believe, so that they will not be saved. Father, please, rebuke the enemy that faith, salvation may be accomplished this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 9. Oh, Father, help us. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Do not lie to one another. What is lying? Well, the word means to deceive. It means to speak falsely. It means to communicate what is false, and this is important, with the intention of misleading. It's not to misspeak, to say something that you weren't aware of. It's to be aware, to know, with the intention to deceive. It's saying what you know is false. It's making up stories, changing the details to make a story sound better than it is. This is everything from cheating in a board game to changing the details, calling into work, saying that you're sick when you're not, you're just too tired. This is exaggerating the truth. Job 27:3, as long as my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehood. That's another way the Bible describes this, falsehood. My tongue will not utter deceit. Speaking lies. Do you ever brag about yourself? Do you tell stories about your upbringing and make it sound better than it was, or perhaps even make it sound worse than it was? Have you ever added a few numbers to your scorecard or a few pounds to that buck that you shot? You ever tell people that you don't want to talk to? My phone died. Your phone didn't die. I didn't see your call. Have you ever typed LOL and you were not actually laughing out loud? Have you ever really rolled on the floor and laughed? What about I have read the terms and agree? You ever click those boxes? You're saying you did it, but did you? Thank you. Have you been lying to anyone? What about telling your children? They're 13. Say you're 12 because kids 12 and under eat free. Sneaking food, snacks into the movie. It's deception. It's lying. It's not truth. It's not honest. You ever tell somebody, I'm leaving now, but you're actually not leaving now? What about on the job? You tell your boss, I forgot to do that. But you didn't really forget. You just were not responsible and failed to do it. But you say, I forgot, because that sounds better. You ready for one that might hurt? Do you drive differently when a police officer is driving next to you? But then when the police officer leaves your presence, then you drive the way you are actually driving. Is that honest? It's pretending I drive the speed limit, but it's only that way when you're next to me. It's not truthful. This is falsehood. Children are liars too. Children, have you ever told your parents, I didn't take that toy. I didn't eat that snack. I didn't break that. I don't know who broke that. Now, clearly, there's only one child in this house. We know it was you, but the child lies. What does Scripture say? The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. Psalm 58. And we could give 100 more examples that come from our own lips week in and week out. One statistic said every day we hear and tell over 200 lies. How many do you tell a day? How about this one? How are you doing? I'm good. I'm fine. Wives, do you ever tell your husband that? I'm fine. I'm fine. Are you? Are you really fine? Are we really good? In fact, the reality is, you may have had the worst day, failed in every possible way you could have failed. But when someone in the church approaches you and says, how are you doing? I'm good. All is good. It's always good. Everything's always great. There's never any problems. There's never any difficulties, never any struggles. It's always good. Everything is good. Is that honest? Half-truths are whole lies, and whole lies are total sins. This is no small thing, some things I know we can laugh about, but the fact of the matter is we live in a world full of liars. In fact, it's the very atmosphere, it's the very air we breathe, and we're so used to it, we don't even possibly think about it anymore. Why do we have lie detector tests? Why do you have to have a ticket? You pay, you receive a ticket. Why? Because people lie and say, I paid. No, show me your ticket. And then the ticket has to change every time because you might try to save that ticket and go the next day and say, oh, I paid. Why do we have things like notaries? You have to sign in the presence of someone who is commissioned to say, you are the person who signed on this day, this document, with a witness. Why do we need to have witnesses? Why are there contracts? Why is your word not enough? Brothers and sisters, why do we have photo IDs? You have to have your picture. Why? Because people said, I'm so-and-so, and they weren't. You have to have a photograph of yourself that is updated because we live in a world of liars. We don't trust one another in our world, and for good reason. We have security cameras. We have fingerprint scans, passwords. And now your password needs to have a number and a digit and a capital and all of this. Why? Because people are liars. They are deceivers. They cheat. They trick. And the evidence is everywhere. And then we have our Lord. He sees all of this, this world of liars, this world of people who are dishonest and deceitful and cheaters and scammers. And our God is not silent about it. He has spoken. What does Proverbs 6 say? There are six things that the Lord hates. You ever wonder why it went from 6 to 7? 7 that are abomination to him. Well, why? Well, let's look at the list. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. You know why it went from 6 to 7? Because lying is mentioned twice. Here are 6 things that the Lord hates, and he hates lying so much that he put it twice. Our God hates lying and liars. He loves the truth. His Son proclaimed himself, defined himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. And the Bible has different categories of lying. Lying that has to do with money. You have the false balance, the false weight. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. A just weight is his delight. What is this? Well, in the ancient world, if you wanted to buy something, it was done through weighing scales. And so if I was the merchant and I sold, let's say I sold rice, I had a scale and you say, I want 2 pounds of rice, and you would have a bag. You have a bag with weights, and you'd have a 2 pound weight. And you would put your weight on my scale, and I would put rice on my scale until it leveled out to 2 pounds. That's how things were done. But then somebody said, you know what? I can make my scale imbalanced so that I have to give you less rice and you give me more money. And people said, you know what? I can make my weight deceitful, and I can make it seem like it's 2 pounds, but it's really more. This was unjust. Proverbs 16:11 says, a just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. We have the same thing in our day now, don't we? People who lie on their tax paper to get a bigger return, saying they have dependents that they don't really have, pretend to have less so they can cheat people out of more. Many people who may stand on the side of the road saying I'm homeless, but truly they do have a home, but they know if I pretend to be this way, I can tip the scale in my favor. I get calls from time to time as your pastor from people who say, we need money for a hotel. We need money. We're fleeing from the hurricane. We're homeless. We've been on the streets. And I just begin to ask them some questions about their story. And suddenly they become angry. They start cursing me out. They hang up. Why? Because they're lying. They're putting balances on the scale and weights that are not accurate. It's unjust. It's lying for the sake of money. Are you lying when it comes to finances? Did you tell that company, I pay you? You give your word, but you have not. What about that apartment? You signed the contract and said, I will go into this contract with you, but then the lease is broken. You sell an item on Marketplace or Craigslist or something else, but you don't tell them it has a defect. You sell a car, but you don't tell them that it has this problem. You don't tell this or that because you know if you do, you'll get less money. This is unjust scales, and it's lying. This is what we see in Scripture. Jacob lied to his father to get the blessing. And Laban lied to Jacob about his daughters to get more work out of him. Delilah lied to Samson to get the silver. There's another category in the Scripture about lying, and it's the false teacher. Proverbs 30, verse 6 says, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. What does the false teacher do? He adds to the word of God. He changes it. He sculpts it and twists it in order for him to get across his message, but it's untrue. There's the lie of false religion. You know what 1 John 2:22 says? Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Every religion except for Christianity is a religion of lies. They deny the Son. And if you don't have the Son, then you don't have the Father. Every other worldview beside the biblical one is a worldview of lies. There is no in between. If you deny Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, you do not know God. It's lies. It's not true. There's the lie of legalism that says if you do these things, if you obey these laws, if you jump through these hoops, then God will be pleased with you. But that's a lie. For apart from the law, God rescues sinners. No one will be justified by the law. This is the lie of antinomianism, lawlessness. God doesn't care about what you do. It's all of grace. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what sins you're committing. It doesn't matter if you're intentionally going after sin. God will just forgive you. You don't have to repent. You don't have to change. These are lies. This is the lie of the unjust scale. This is the lie of the false teacher. This is the lie of the false profession. The person who says that they're a Christian, but they're not. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this is saying that if you say that you are in Christ, you are in the light, but you practice darkness, you walk in darkness, you live in darkness, sin is your lifestyle, then what you're saying is that God is fine with both dark and light. Though God is light and no darkness is in him, he's making an exception for you. That Christ is cool with darkness. This is a lie. And it makes God out to be a liar. Because God has already spoken, hasn't he? In 1 John 3:9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. So if you say, I make a practice of sinning and I'm born of God, then you're lying. For God's seed abides in him and he cannot keep on sinning. Because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. I mean, does that sound like you? Do you practice sin and yet say you are a child of God? The Bible says you are a liar. If you have a profession of being a Christian, but you know your life, you know your life is full of idolatry and immorality and wrath, and there is no love for Christ. You are worldly as the day is long, but you pretend, you put on a mask, you put on a show in front of all the people, but behind closed doors, you're something else. That is a lie. You are a liar. It's the lie of the false profession. We're talking about lying. Paul says, do not lie to one another. So why do people lie? What are some of the motivations? What are some of the reasons? You know, one of them? Greed. Greed. They want more. Right? They feel like they don't have enough, so they lie to get ahead. They want more money, so they lie on job applications. They lie on resumes. They say that they have more accomplishments than they do. Oh, you know, I kind of did this. And so they begin to stretch the truth. But it's a lie. And why are their lies being told? Because they're greedy for more. They want more. And they know if they present the truth, they're not going to be given the salary that they want. So they begin to fudge the numbers. They want your money. Advertisers, right? If you buy this, you'll be happy. If you buy this, you'll be popular. Everyone will like you. Put on this shirt, drive this car, live in this house, and you will be satisfied. And you get it, and you say, hey, they lied to me. Of course they did, because they're after your money. The medical profession, industry, lies. Where are the cures? When's the last time there was a cure for anything? Medical breakthroughs, right? Where are they? What is the last disease to actually be cured? Now, we have technology that can get us to space, and you can get to the bottom of the ocean. We can communicate. Right now, I could use this instrument to talk to someone across the world, and we could be looking at one another at the same time, and yet we don't have a cure for the common cold. Why? Greed, because there's no money in the cure, right? The money is in the medicine. As long as we can keep you coming back, then we'll keep the money coming. So we'll just keep you dependent on the pill. All while saying, we have your health and your best interest in mind. It's greed. We see that same kind of greed in Scripture. Remember Gehazi? Here is the servant of the prophet, Elisha. This is a man who knows what is going on in the mind and the heart of the king. God has given this man the gift of prophecy. And here's Gehazi. Naaman comes to see Elisha. Go dip. He washes. The leprosy is gone. Gehazi is there. And Naaman says, what do you want? Trunks and trunks of stuff. Elisha's like, I don't want none of that. Go on. And Gehazi says, ooh, opportunity. So he runs after Naaman. And he makes up a lie, a story, about a need that Elisha has because some people are coming and we need some stuff. And the Naaman says, take what you want. So he does. He goes and hides it. And then he comes into the house with Elisha. And what happens? 2 Kings 5. He went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere. Now, parents, if you ever ask your children where you've been, they say nowhere. You need to find out where they have been. He said to him, did not my heart go when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Was it a time to accept money and garments, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male servants and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So he went out from his presence a leper like snow. Have you been lying to get more money? Has greed motivated you to lie? Got to get this deal. Got to get this sale. It's a lie. Another reason people lie is fear. I mean, that's a big one, right? I mean, which of us don't know about that? Children. But probably the number one reason why children lie to their parents is they don't want to get in what? Trouble. They don't want to spank him. So what do they? I didn't do it. I don't know who did it. I don't even know who knows who did it. I wasn't around. I didn't see anything. No habla inglés. Like what? They don't want a spanking. Why do people lie to the police? They don't want to go to jail. Why do employees lie to their employer? They don't want to get fired. Fear. Fear of punishment. Fear of consequence. Fear of the unknown. What will happen if they know this? What will happen if I say this? What will happen if this is discovered? People lie to one another because they're afraid. Fear is a powerful motivator to lie. Because it seems to protect you. And the more you lie, the better you get at it. And truthfully, lying may have saved you from many spankings. Lying may have kept you from getting grounded. Lying may have come to your rescue a dozen times. But lies don't always stay in the dark, do they? They come to the light eventually. Perhaps yours will not. Perhaps no one will ever know what you've done or who you really are. But somebody does, don't they? God knows. God knows it all. He knows the secrets and the lies. And you know what's amazing? Is he still wants you. He still will take you. He still will save you. It's a sad reality that the fear of man moves us to lie to one another. Why? Because we do not truly have much respect for the fear of the Lord.
The final reason I'll give for why people lie, we have greed, we have fear, but what's probably the biggest one? Pride. Yeah? Pride. A desire to appear better than you really are. New Testament has a very graphic and alarming illustration of this in Acts. Ananias and his wife Sapphira. In Acts 5:1, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. Nobody told him to do this. Others were doing it, so they did it. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds. That's perfectly fine. It was his property. He didn't have to sell it. He didn't have to give all the proceeds. That's not the problem. And brought only a part of it and laid it at the pride. We all know what it is to be lied to. I mean, I don't even need to ask, have you been lied to? The question is, who has lied to you? Parents? Spouses? Friends? We all know the pain of being deceived when someone lies to us. And you know what? The more times people lie to you, it begins to affect you, doesn't it? The more you're lied to, the more you begin to look at people as untrustworthy. I can't trust people because people are liars, and so you begin to see everybody as a liar. Lying harms people. It's corrupting. You know how many times you need to be a truth teller to be considered honest? Many. But how many times do you need to lie to be considered a liar? Only a few. Lying disrupts unity. Lying causes pain and anguish. And all of us can tell many stories of the pain of being lied to. But what about the flip side? Are you lying to anyone right now? I mean, going back to what happened with Ananias in the book of Acts, what if that happened in Austin? What if I told you that God was going to kill in 2 minutes everyone here who has lies and secrets? Would you be afraid? Would you say, oh no? Would you go running out of here? All liars are going to be exposed in 2 minutes by God killing you. Are there things on your phone and laptops you don't want anyone to find? Are there text messages you hope will never be seen? Are there relationships that keep you up at night because you hope no one finds out about them? Are you lying? Are you lying? We talked about anger last week. Violent, raging, yelling. Is there a face that I am a really nice and kind and loving father, but behind the scenes, my kids know, my wife knows, he's a monster? Is that real? Are you hiding some sin from your dad or your mom, children? Are you lying to them? Are you keeping a secret from your husband or your wife? Are you lying to them? Are you lying to one another? Are you lying to your boss? Are you lying to the government? Are you lying to us in the church? Are you keeping back some wicked practice that has its hooks in you? And you don't want anyone to know that you sin like that. Sum up all the reasons, all the excuses. What is the ultimate reason for lying? It is a love of self. It is a love for self, a concern for self, a worship of self, a focus on self. It's idolatry. It's the religion of me-ism. Why do you, why do I, why do we lie?
self.
In the Colossian church, there were the same struggles and battles you and I face today. There's nothing new under the sun. And no temptation has taken you except which is common to man, but God is faithful. And Paul goes from stating the problem, stop lying, never lie to someone else, do not lie to one another. And he goes from saying, okay, this is the issue, lying. And now he gives us reasons and help so that lying stops. In fact, the name of this sermon is Four Reasons to Stop Lying. Now, if I was to pass out paper and pen to all of you, and you were to write a list, four reasons to convince someone to stop lying, what would your list look like? Perhaps number one on the list would be the wrath of God falls upon liars. Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Maybe top on the list, look, if you keep lying, if you are a liar, the wrath of God will fall upon you. Maybe that would be number one. Maybe number two, we would say, well, the devil is a liar. That's what Jesus said. You are the John 8, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So we say, number one, God's wrath. Number two, when you lie, you talk the language of the devil. You're being like him. So don't do that. Maybe number three, it's not loving to lie. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, and clearly we know the commandment to not lie, are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So here's number three. Don't lie because it's not loving. Number four, this was the list that I came up with for myself. It's sin, right? Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another. There it is. God's wrath, it's the language and the character and the nature of Satan. It's not love and it is sin. Perfect list right there, right? Boom, pass it out. And all these reasons are true and powerful motivations. But you know what's amazing? Paul doesn't go to any of those. That's not a single one of those is his reason to convince the Colossians to stop lying. He gives four. Two of them are negative. Two of them are positive. So, quickly. First, Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Reason number one, you have put off the old self. You are dead. The very first reason that the Spirit of God gives to the inspired apostle Paul as to why you and I must stop this lying. We must not lie to one another. We must not be liars. We must not be cheaters. We must not be deceivers. Is that Christian? You have put off the old self. Now, who is this old self? Perhaps your translation says the old man. Who is this old man? John Calvin defined the old man in this way. Whatever we bring from our mother's womb, whatever we are by nature. Piper says the old self is the me that was rebellious against God and insubordinate to God's law. And blind to God's glory and unbelieving toward his promises. It's your sin nature, the old you. And you know what? You didn't have to do anything to become the old man. This is what you are by birth. You were born into Adam. You were born a sinner. You were born with the depravity within you. As I've already quoted in Psalm 58, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born speaking lies. It's not what we do, it's who we are by nature. How does Ephesians 2 put it? By nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. This is just what we are when we come into this world. It's the old man. And Paul says, this old man, this old self is who has been put off. He's dead. Stop lying. Why, Paul? Because the old man is gone. In other words, you have died to your old life. There was a time, Christian, when you ran your own life. There was a time when you sat on the throne, when you ran the show, when you were Lord of your own heart. But that man, that woman, that person, that self is gone. They're gone. They live no more. And this is what we've been hearing Paul say throughout this letter, right? Colossians 2:11, in him also you were circumcised, cut with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And then again in Colossians 2:20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulation? Chapter 3:3-4, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Ephesians 4:22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Romans 6:6, we know that our old self was crucified with him. What happens when someone was crucified? You know, the Romans, they were very good at what they did. And when you went to the cross, was it D.L. Moody who said that? If you saw a man going to the cross, you know he wasn't coming back. They were good at what they did. Crucified means death. You were crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Christian, you have put off the old self. So where is the old man? Well, he's been put off. It's the idea of, I read this account, it's historic. Civil War, right? And this man who's a Civil War soldier, his clothing, his bedding is infested with lice. Imagine that. You got to fight in this terrible war and you have lice all over you. And it got so bad that he wrote home to his wife and said, please, can you bring me some new stuff? So she met him and he took off all that stuff, all the bedding, shoes, all that, and they burned it. And he had the new clothing. That's the idea of old man put off. No, never again to be put on again. Cast away. This is the justification. This is the regeneration. This is the work that is done by the Spirit of God alone. But that's not all. Something else has happened. Reason two. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, with his deeds. This is repentance. This is critical because there are people who say, well, look, Jesus is your Savior, but you don't need to worry about him being your Lord. You can have salvation, but there doesn't need to be any change of life. That's not what this says. He says, not only have you put off the old self, not only have you died to the old you, but you also put off the practices, the deeds, the habits, the tendencies, the way of life that are connected to that old man. The old man is a liar. The old woman is a deceiver. She's a schemer. He's a trickster. The old self will say anything to get out of trouble. That's how the old self lived, because they only care for themselves. But what does this say, Christian? This says not only has the old self been put off, but the practices as well. Imagine a criminal who puts on the uniform of a police officer. Still a criminal. Unless the behavior changes, the uniform only makes it worse. The old man has been put off. Reason one, why do we stop lying? Because the old person has been put off. You have been born again. You have a new, the old self is gone. Two, you have repented of the old ways and you're not going back to them. What's the reason three? Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and, here's the positive, have put on the new self. Just say no. Just say no. No, it's not just a vacuum of put off, but there's someone who is put on. Who is this new self? The old self is the old man. It is the sin nature. But who's the new man? Who is the new self? You know what Galatians 3:27 says? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The new self is Christ. Thomas Goodwin said, there are but two men that are seen standing before God, Adam and Jesus Christ. And these two men have all other men hanging at their girdles. There's only two men. Either you're in Adam or you are in Christ. That's it. If you put off the old self, then the new man has come upon you, Jesus Christ. We don't merely put on Christianity, we put on Christ. Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Some people think Christianity is just exchanging one standard of morality for another. Well, what's Christianity? Oh, well, you know, you stop doing bad stuff and start doing good stuff. No. This is the putting off of the old self in death and putting on the new self who is Christ in life. This is amazing news. You know the first time that this phrase is used in our Bibles? Genesis 3. 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. This is the same phrase. This is the same word. He put on them clothes. And you can ask Peter, the only way to get skin from an animal is death. God slayed an innocent animal to clothe these sinners. What were they clothed in before? The old man. They had the fig leaves trying to cover themselves by their righteous deeds, but it could not cover. The shame and guilt and stain remain. What does God do? He removes the fig leaves and clothes them in the skin of the animal, a type and a picture of the righteousness of Christ being clothed upon us. Have you put on the new self? Are you still the old? Or are you new? Remember Joseph? He had that coat of many colors. It was unique. It was given to him by his father. In a like manner, we have this coat of Christ, but it's only one color. It's red. And the blood of Jesus must be our uniform. Ray Steadman, he gives the following illustration I think is helpful. He says, when I get up in the morning, I put on my clothes, intending them to be part of me all day. To go where I go, to do what I do, they cover me and make me presentable to others. That is the purpose of clothes. In the same way, the apostle is saying to us, put on Christ. Why must you stop lying? Put off the old self, along with his practices, and you have put on Jesus. You have been united with him. You're a child of God. You are a saint. But what's the final reason? Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Notice the language here. You have put off the old self, past tense. You have put on the new self, past tense. Which is being renewed, present. This is happening. This is currently going on. And I pray that this is a comfort to all of you Christians. Because the reality is, you say, yes, I have put off the old self, and I am in Christ, but I see areas in my life, even as you were giving these examples, I see areas of my life where I don't have honesty in every area. I see areas where I still lack in that kind of truth. I see areas where I do lie, where I am dishonest. So how do I make amends with this? Well, look at this. This new self, which is being renewed. This is a process. There are still areas of your life where you see the need for more honesty, more transparency. And it's being renewed. Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering he has perfected, past tense, for all time those who are being sanctified. This is what the Lord is doing in you, Christian. He has done the work, the once for all work. He sent his son. Jesus suffered and died. He took care of canceling the debt along with his legal demands. There's a redemption. There's a regeneration. You have been saved. God has redeemed you. You've been born again. You are a child of God. And you are being renewed. In what way? This is beautiful. In knowledge after the image of its creator. In other words, you are being more and more brought into the image of Jesus Christ. Day by day. Charles Simeon compared it to our light will be progressive, advancing like that of the sun. From its earliest dawn to its meridian height. And I don't know if you've ever been up at sunrise, things are dark. And then you see just a little silver on the horizon. And you begin to say, I can kind of make out trees. I can kind of see shadows and silhouettes. And the sun continues to rise. And you begin to see more and more and more. And then by noon, everything is bright and shining and clear. And that's the life of the Christian. You put on the new self and it's being renewed more and more into the image of Christ, and you grow and you're putting off more lying, more deception, more falsehood. And you say, no, it's not good enough. There's even more honesty that I can have. I can be more faithful with my speech. I can be more honest in my dealings. I can be more righteous in my business dealings and in my talking to people. I can be more honest. Because you're being renewed into the image after the likeness of its creator. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? And who is your creator? What does the scripture say? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. You're being renewed into the image of Jesus himself. Why must you stop lying? Because you're being made to be more like Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus a liar? Was Jesus dishonest ever in any way? Was he ever unreliable? When he spoke, did people ever wonder, is he actually going to come through? Well, what did he say? He said he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Didn't he do that? Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Didn't he do that? I mean, every single thing that Jesus said he would do, didn't he do it? He is faithful. Every word he spoke, true. He was honest. He was reliable. He was dependable. He was faithful. Every single word, completely and totally trustworthy. Not a sign of falsehood in him at all. And as you behold him and look at him and you're being renewed more and more into his image, and you look at Jesus and you say, look at how he spoke, even when it would cost him. Look at how he dealt. Remember the issue of the money. He said, just not to cause offense, I don't even have to give this tax. But so we don't cause offense, go to the fish, give the money for both you and me. I mean, complete and total honesty, transparency. Crowds, stones, but he spoke truth. He didn't waver, he didn't falter. Jesus was trustworthy. And Christian, all of you, listen, those of you who love the Lord, who care about him, you bear his name. You bear his name. You are in his family. You are united with him. And if the argument from Paul about joining to harlots is true, doesn't the same logic line up when it comes to speaking falsehood? We're being renewed into the image of Christ. And if we are Christians and we speak and we lie, then what do we communicate? Jesus is a liar. But Jesus is not a liar. So what does Paul do? What does he do? He doesn't bring threats and say, you know, the wrath of God comes upon liars. Brothers and sisters, it's true. You know what he does? He holds up Christ and says, look, you're being renewed into this image. And don't you love him? You've been raised with him. Look at who he is. Isn't he glorious? Would you lie after he has died to take off the old self and its practices, after he has died so that you could put on Christ, so that you could be united with him, so when the Father looks at you, he sees his Son, so that you will reign with him, seated with him in heavenly places? Would you smear his name? Would you bring his name to the dirt and mud by being someone who speaks falsehood? May it never be. You know what happens? The more truth you speak, the more like Christ you are. And isn't that your greatest desire? Isn't that your number one prayer request? Please, Lord, make me more like your Son. I want to be more like Jesus. He was honest. So the more truth you tell, the more you resemble him. There are people who give their entire lives to being impersonators of famous people. I mean, they get plastic surgery. They learn the dance. I mean, every day they're studying their subject to become more and more like them in image. And the more they become like them, the better they feel because they're accomplishing their goal. Christian, you behold Christ and you say, there is what I want to be like. And you just ask yourself, when you're tempted to lie, when I'm tempted to lie, is Jesus a liar? Children, you say you want to follow Christ. Was Jesus a liar? Was Jesus a deceiver? May it never be. And as we begin to think about this knowledge that is in accord with the image, that is going after this deep, intimate, real, true, spiritual, mystical, united knowledge of Christ, of course we go to the cross, don't we? And we see him who died for liars. He bled all the times when you were in trouble and you told a lie to get out of it. He shed his blood to pay for that. Jesus Christ, who is the truth, suffered the wrath of God for our lies. And he was punished as though his mouth was used to tell the most deceitful falsehoods known to man. He who only spoke truth was treated like those who only speak lies. And when we behold such a scene, will we then say, I will treat lying lightly? Well, I'd like to read y'all a story. There's an illustration. I wasn't sure if I'd have time, but the Lord is blessed. There's an illustration that comes from the pen of C.S. Lewis, And it really just encapsulates this whole, these two verses that Paul laid out. It's from The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Anybody ever read that book? I recommend it to you highly. And in this story, here's Eustace Scrub. He is the selfish, wicked, cruel. I mean, he is just a horrible, wicked little boy. And halfway through the story, he finds himself turned into a dragon. And he doesn't want to be a dragon anymore. And he meets Aslan, who is a type of Christ, the lion. And Aslan leads him to this pool. And he says, you need to wash. And he wants to get in, but he realizes, Aslan says, you have to undress first. So, and I quote, he says, so I started scratching myself. He's telling the story. And my scales began coming off all over the place. And then I scratched a little deeper. And instead of just scales coming off here and there, my whole skin started peeling off beautifully as if I was a banana. In a minute or two, I just stepped out of it. I could see it lying there beside me, looking rather nasty. It was a most lovely feeling. So I started to go down into the water for my bath. But just as I was going to put my feet into the water, I looked down and saw that they were all hard and rough and wrinkled and scaly, just as they were before. Oh, that's all right, said I. It only means I had another smaller suit underneath the first one. And I have to get out of it, too. So I scratched and tore again, and this underskin peeled off beautifully. I stepped out, left it lying beside the other one, and went down again for my bath. Well, exactly the same thing happened again. And I thought to myself, oh, dear, however many skins have I got to take off? For I was longing to bathe my leg. So I scratched away for the third time and got off a third skin and just like the two others, stepped out of it. But as soon as I looked at myself in the water, I knew it had been no good. Then the lion said, you will have to let me undress you. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now. So I just lay flat down on my back to let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. But when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I'd done it myself the other three times, only they hadn't hurt. And there it was, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more ugly looking than the others had been. And there I was, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch, and smaller than I had been. Then he caught hold of me, threw me into the water. It hurt so much, but only for a moment. And after that, I became perfectly delicious. I turned into a boy again. And here's the last part. After a bit, the lion took me out and dressed me. And new clothes, the same I've got on now, as a matter of fact. And then suddenly I was back here. The old man and those old practices, we tried to strip ourselves. Maybe you're here, you're just like Eustace. You've tried to take off lying. You've tried to take off immorality. You've tried to take off anger yourself. But all you find is another layer and another layer and another layer. You must let Christ undress you. And when he does, surely it will go to the heart and you will see the ugliness of your sin like you've never seen it before. Oh, but you will be washed and he will clothe you in new clothes, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You've been born again. You've been washed. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Father, thank you for the great news that we do not have to continue to be liars. Why, Lord? Because you have done a work that is supernatural, and you are continuing to do a work in us. May we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ for all the motivation that we need to put off lying forever and only speak truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.